The Christian is the dutiful, bound servant of all under the law, but under the gospel, he is Lord of all and under nobody's control or thumb.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And frankly, being Lord of all in the gospel and yet under love, servant of all, is the best way to live.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for confessional Lutheranism in the 21st century at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
You don't see the Church of Satan doing a mockery of mosque worship. You don't see Satanism doing a mockery of a Buddhist meditation.
You go into the average big box evangelical church, you're going to get three or four verses from different translations ripped out of context that are strip-mined in order to help make your life better.
He reigns from a font. He reigns from a pulpit. He reigns from a table. His crucified and risen presence, bodily, fleshly, continues to reign in the world.
Homeschool families love Issues, etc. We have issues.
The old-fashioned word is barrenness, and I think sometimes that is a word that we would avoid. It's a biblical word. It certainly is. There's more than a handful of situations of barrenness. A couple who cannot have children, sometimes they do in the Bible, sometimes they don't. Of course, in our kind of sterilized scientific society, we think about it as infertility. We think about it as a medical problem, as a problem that can be solved with enough money, enough effort. Sometimes, to be quite honest, enough ethical compromise. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about barrenness, in vitro fertilization, and embryo testing. Katie Schuerman will join us for the first half hour of the program. A little bit later, Pastor Bill Swirl will be alongside for about an hour. We're going to talk with him about the promises of God during suffering. God does not promise to deliver you from suffering. He makes promises to you in the midst of suffering. What are they, and how should we understand how God uses suffering to bless us? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us in the last half hour. We'll continue our weekly series with him on Christ in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1. It's a good place to begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. All the way through the second chapter, we'll deal with Christ in the Old Testament there in the very first book of the Bible. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Katie Schuerman joins us to talk about barrenness, in vitro fertilization, and embryo testing. She's author of the book, He Remembers the Barren. She'll be one of the speakers at the Infertility Ethics Symposium, November the 8th, on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Katie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Why do you prefer the term barrenness to infertility?
Well, I think language is important. You know, the words that we use whenever we're talking, you know, for any kind of subject, they inform our conversations. And there's nothing inherently wrong with the word infertility. I actually use that quite often, too. And in most circles seem more comfortable with the word infertility rather than barrenness, like you pointed out in the opening. But I like to talk about barrenness because, as you pointed out, the word barren actually appears in the Bible. And the word infertility, it calls to mind for me images of medicine, you know, syringes, sperm, eggs, ovaries, surgeries, you know, all kinds of things that have to do with going to the hospital and stripping down and putting on a gown that gaps in the back. And something I've noticed when talking about infertility with people is that when that word comes up in a conversation, rarely does God come up in the conversation. I just don't think in our world God is associated with the word infertility. So I prefer to talk about barrenness because it calls to mind, for me, biblical images. I can name women, you know, in my head who are mentioned in the Bible who have been called barren. And primarily the reason it comforts me is because in the telling of those stories in the Bible, I'm reminded that I may be barren today. God may not have given me the gift of a child, but God says in his word that he opens wombs and he closes them. So as his child, I can trust that whether he's opened my womb today or closed it today, I'm still within his tender care.
Let's talk about barrenness in two respects. And I almost hesitate to ask the question, but I think it needs to be asked. We talk about childbearing as a gift. That's pretty obvious. At one moment, there is you are just a husband and a wife. The next moment, with conception, you are father and mother. The gift has been given. Is barrenness, in its own way, a gift?
I think so. It's taken me years to be able to say that and to confess that out loud. Because I don't really want the gift of barrenness, but I do think it's a gift. In fact, in Matins on Tuesday, the psalm reading was from Psalm 94. And when we talk in the church about children, we know to use the words gift and blessing and heritage and fruit because those are the words that God uses about children. But what's so interesting is there are other things that are considered blessings, too. In Psalm 94, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord." And as I was reading that, we were actually singing it, we were chanting it. As we were chanting it, I was deeply moved because I thought, that's right. In my barrenness, I'm disciplined. I'm disciplined into trusting God further, and therefore, I'm blessed. It's a blessing he's given to me, this discipline and this suffering and this living without the precious gift of children that he can give. It's an opportunity to trust him further, to trust him still, and that is a gift because it's yet one more thing in my life that points me to he who does not, he who is not barren in his love for me.
What about barrenness as a vocation? We talk about a calling that all of us have, many of them overlapping, intersecting callings in life. A woman with a child has a calling, which is mother, among other things. Is barrenness a vocation?
I suppose it is. Just because barrenness often has specific characteristics that go along with it, and one of them is, of course, childlessness. And because of that, I have a certain amount of time and resources that I can devote to serving other neighbors that maybe mothers are not able to serve because just by nature, they have specific neighbors in their home that require their, their skills and their discipline and their time and their attention. But not having those children in my home, I suppose I do have, a vocation in my barrenness in the sense that, I have time to write and to speak and to advocate for the rights of other children and to raise money for adoption and adoption awareness. And one of my favorites is, I have a little extra time to be super aunt.
What does that mean, to be super aunt?
It means, I probably have a little more extra time and finances to invest in my sister's and brother's children. And therefore, I get to have kind of hyped-up relationships with them because I get to invest that extra time with them. And so that's a blessing.
Every vocation, every gift is given by God, but it's always given under the cross. We never get out from under the cross as Christians. There is an attendant suffering. There's an attendant that comes along with these things, a burden that comes along with them, always to both remind and to connect us to the suffering of Christ and his cross. Talk about barrenness under the cross, Katie.
Well, it's hard to wake up some mornings to an empty house. It's hard to walk by certain rooms and know, I'd really like those to be filled with children. I'd love to be cooking breakfast for more than just myself and for my husband. I'd love to have devotion time that's filled with the realistic, tangible hope that comes with having the fellowship in Christ right there in your very home. And while my husband and I have that fellowship, you know, he and I are the same age, and we're aging at the same rate. And sometimes, you know, as we get older, we're facing our mortality day after day without that hope of new life in our home that comes with children. And, you know, living in society in a world that revolves around children to a certain extent, you know, sports activities at schools and at church, we're blessed to, you know, celebrate baptisms and confirmations and weddings. All of those events can be very painful in your barrenness because you don't get to quite come to the party in the way that parents do. Not that we aren't invited to the party and not that we don't have our own place at the table, but it's not rich like it is in the parenting role. And so part of the cross of barrenness is living without the gift that God says he likes to give in marriage. And then with that comes the cross, the temptation of, Lord, are you not pleased with me? is there a reason that I need to be disciplined in such a way that I'm not given that gift that you say that you give? And there's great temptation there to read into Scripture some kind of promise that he has not given. You know, he has not given a promise in his word that he will give the gift of children to every marriage. And so to hold him to a false promise, you know, is ultimately, you know, making up another God that I'm serving. And so the temptation is to trust in that false God rather than to trust in the actual promise he has given to me in his word, which is that he will save me through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He will save me through childbearing, through the child that Mary bears, through Jesus Christ, that he will always hear my prayers and he will always answer them, that he will forgive me of my sins in Jesus, that when I'm baptized, I am adopted into his family, and now I'm an heir of heaven. You know, I get to inherit eternal life with my brother Jesus. You know, there are promises that God will never leave me nor forsake me, that there's nothing, no kind of suffering in this life can possibly separate me from God's love, not even barrenness. And so the cross of barrenness is living without a gift of God in this life and trusting that he loves me anyway and that he loves me still and that he loves me so much that he does make me barren.
One other question in that respect, and then when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about a few particular issues that have to do with infertility / barrenness, and that is the so-called biological clock. I don't know, as a man, the only clock I see now is having turned 50. The end is in sight. It may be 30 years, 40 years away, but the end is in sight. There's no doubt about it. Can't deny it any longer. But for women, there is a truth behind the so-called biological clock. Talk about that, especially in conjunction with barrenness.
Well, something I've noticed is that I feel like what barren women go through is actually what every woman is going to go through because, you know, after we turn the corner of 18, our bodies are already, you know, in a process of dying. And then we hit menopause. And then literally conception is an impossibility, you know, outside of our Lord working a miracle like he does with Sarah. But, you know, I think something to consider is that actually barren women kind of go through midlife crisis earlier. That's actually kind of what I think of it as. We just kind of stare into that mirror of our mortality about 20 years earlier than maybe our sisters. And it's kind of comforting to me to know that all women really do understand barrenness, and they really can empathize, maybe not this year, but eventually they will. And for this reason, I've found that myself and other barren women, we often really enjoy hanging out with women in their 50s, 60s, and 70s because we have a lot in common. you know, women of that generation, you know, their children are moved out of the house. Sometimes they're blessed with the gift of grandchildren. Sometimes they're not. They often have a little more free time and free resources to invest in other vocations or volunteering, such as we do. And so, you know, as far as the biological clock goes, I suppose the older I get, I grieve a little bit more because I know I'm nearing the ultimate barrenness, you know, the menopause. But really, I kind of feel like I've gone through it a little bit already. I've noticed that that midlife crisis kind of feeling is actually what barren women experience.
Katie Schuerman is our guest. We're talking about barrenness, in vitro fertilization, and embryo testing. We'll turn to the latter two subjects on the other side of the break. She's authored the book, He Remembers the Barren.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about barrenness, infertility, in vitro fertilization, embryo testing. Katie Schuerman is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Katie has authored the book, He Remembers the Barren, and she's going to be one of the speakers at the Infertility Ethics Symposium, November 8th, on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Before we go on, Katie, tell us a little bit about the Infertility Ethics Symposium.
Sure. And actually, I should preface with, I am actually not one of the speakers at the symposium. The symposium is designed specifically for pastors, for seminarians, for our commissioned ministers and parish nurses, basically our servants of the word and our servants of mercy in the church who will be interacting with barren couples on a daily basis. And since this is for their benefit, we actually have all pastors who are presenting at this symposium. And this first ever Infertility Ethics Symposium is being co-sponsored, by LCMS Life Ministry and the Concordia Seminary Life Team. And I'm very excited because we have a great lineup of speakers. Reverend William Swirla, who you said is going to be on the program later today, he is one of our presenters. He'll be presenting a paper on the topic called Be Fruitful and Multiply When It Doesn't Work. Reverend Dr. Kevin Voss will be presenting on the topic. He'll be doing a survey of reproductive counseling practices in the Lutheran Church. Reverend Dr. James Lamb will be presenting a paper on IVF, From Created to Creator. Reverend Dr. Robert Weiss will be presenting a paper on the topic Embryo Adoption, Helping or Hurting My Neighbor. Reverend Christopher Esgott will be addressing pastoral care for those experiencing infertility and miscarriages. And also Reverend Peter Brock, he will be then giving a paper on the LCMS and infertility ethics. And something that's kind of a perk, too, is those in attendance at the symposium will also be handed a printout of a paper written by Ed Zito of LCMS Life Ministry. And that paper is called Infertility Medicine from A to Zift. It will be kind of a resource guide of all the different various kinds of assisted reproductive technology that's out there today that hopefully these servants of the Word and servants of mercy can refer to as their counseling barren couples.
Folks, you can find out more about the Infertility Symposium November the 8th on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Well, let's talk about those reproductive technologies that I think are often well-intended but do pose some ethical questions. What are your concerns when it comes to the very common practice now of in vitro fertilization?
Well, we're baptized Christians, and so we don't take anything lightly. We filter things in this life through the light of Scripture, and so we really have to, when we're looking at these reproductive technologies, we really have to ask, are they God-pleasing? And we know that they're God-pleasing if they don't break any commandments of the Lord. And my concern with IVF, with in vitro fertilization, is that there's definitely a great possibility for the first commandment to be broken. You know, this when we dethrone that true creator, God, when we dethrone him in our hearts and we replace him with a makeshift God constructed of our own wishes and desires. And definitely there's great risk for breaking the fifth commandment because sometimes the children that we are praying for, the children we ask for, the children that are created in this procedure are murdered sometimes. For those who are not familiar with in vitro fertilization, in vitro is literally Latin for in glass. And so these children are being conceived not in utero, but in vitro, in glass. And during IVF, the way it happens is egg follicles are removed from a woman and then mixed with a man's sperm in glass, you know, in a petri dish, in hopes that they'll fertilize. And then upon fertilization, you know, one, usually more, of the embryonic children that are created are then transferred into a woman's uterus in hopes that they'll implant. But because as of today, you can check WebMD if you're curious, because there's only a 29.4 success rate of implantation, and I should preface that, you know, of course, that rate will go slightly higher if the woman's health and is better and her age is younger, and of course, that statistic lowers as the woman ages and as her health declines. But because there's such a small success rate of implantation, doctors often create several children in a petri dish, in glass at once, in order to have more on hand for, if you know, for further implantation attempts. And so, again, we don't live in a bubble. We are Christians. We know that we're not just supposed to look out for ourselves in a situation. We're supposed to look out for our neighbor. And in this circumstance, we have very specific neighbors. We have these children in glass. They are genetically whole human beings. They're not their mother anymore. They're not their father. They're independently people. And we have to ask about them. What about these children in glass? And things we need to be aware of, especially in our country, is that these children have no legal rights of their own. And, well, I guess they have the right to be created, but they don't have the right to live, because at the whim of a parent or a doctor or a technician or a divorce court judge, these children can be graded by their appearance for their viability. You know, we don't do that with any other human being, but we do with these children. These children can be genetically tested, you know, for their sex, chromosomal abnormalities, diseases, you name it. These children can be discarded for their potential flaws, and that's a very mild word I'm using, but discarded means killed. These children can be frozen in liquid nitrogen at negative 321 degrees Fahrenheit, and they can be stored in this freezer. They can be used, they can be adopted, they can be donated, tested, or killed at a parent's leisure. These children can be inserted into potentially inhospitable conditions in utero. And if these children become a part of a multiple pregnancy, they can be selectively terminated or aborted and sacrificed for the vitality of a perceived stronger brother or sister in the womb. And, you know, these children also, because of a complete lack of regulation in the infertility industry, they have no legal right to know who their biological parents are, nor do they have any legal access to their genetic medical history. And so, you know, when we look at all of this information, which for some people might be the first time they've heard it, for others they may be familiar with this procedure already, but, you know, we have to consider the fact that we, in Christ, we are free to utilize healing medicine. Healing medicine is part of how God daily and richly provides all that we need to support this body and life, but we have to ask, is IVF healing medicine? And I'm of the opinion that it is not, because in our Christian freedom, you know, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, he says we're free in Christ, but that freedom is meant to serve one another. It's meant to serve our neighbor. And so I don't think IVF is healing medicine, because it doesn't serve our neighbor. It serves ourselves. IVF actually creates other human beings to risk their life for our benefit, and that's unethical.
Let's talk a little bit about something you mentioned in connection with IVF, and that is embryo testing. What goes on here? This may be in conjunction with IVF. It may not be. It may be ordinary kind of fertility situations with couples who still have access to testing of embryos. What are your concerns there ethically?
Well, how do we feel about the fact that human beings were tested in concentration camps in World War II? This is not any different. It's accosting people. It's using their bodies to find out information for our benefit to serve ourselves. And it's doing it without these people's permission. We have to acknowledge the fact that these children are people. They may be very tiny, but they're alive. They've been created, and they're being stored in this glass. And we are doing things to them without their permission for our benefit. And just like it's not okay to do that on an adult in a concentration camp in World War II, it is also not okay to do that to these children. Some people might argue that it's for the benefit of the children, but what I would want to ask them is, well, what are you going to do with that information that you glean? How are you going to better serve that child with that information? Are you using that information to help that child, or are you using that information so that you could ultimately hurt that child so that you don't have to take care of that child? You know, again, it's not ethical to hurt somebody else to serve yourself.
How do you view those things where in the name of having children, or in the case of embryonic testing, ostensibly in the name of having healthy children, what is actually happening, because so many people believe that the technology is ethically neutral, what is actually happening is that children are being killed.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that as a barren woman?
You know, I actually have a little trouble talking about it. It overwhelms me, Pastor Wilkin. It makes me very sad. It scares me. It scares me because I have trouble being in conversation with people. It feels like we're not of the same spirit when we're talking about these children and how we're going to use them and as you pointed out, abuse them. I am a sinner just like everybody else, and I've murdered people with my thoughts. You know, I've murdered plenty of people in my life in regards to that. What scares me is that we sometimes willingly murder these children under the banner of being pro-life or pro-family or Christian. And I feel like we have a very clear word from God on this. We are not to hurt and harm our neighbor in his body. We're supposed to support him and, you know, help him live a full, decent life. And the other thing to think about, too, is, you know, these aren't just people. These are children. These are children who have parents. And God has a specific word for parents, too, when it comes to children. God does not give us the gift of children in this life so that we can freeze them or abandon them or grade them or discard them or selectively terminate them or abort them or risk their lives. God gives us the gift of children so that we might raise them in the faith. I think it's Dr. Bob Weiss who once pointed out that one of the problems with freezing embryonic children is that you can't actually parent an embryo. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So it's very terrifying to think we're creating children without the intent of parenting them.
Finally, speak to a husband, a wife, a man, or a woman who is struggling with their barrenness. What are your final thoughts for such a listener today?
You are not alone. You are baptized into Christ, and our Lord has given promises to you, promises you can cling to. Whether he gives you the gift of children or not, he promises that in Jesus he will save you from your sin, and he promises to make all things new on the last day. And your value in this life, in his eyes, is not in whether or not you conceive a child or whether or not you adopt a child. You know, your value in God's eyes is entirely in the merit of Christ Jesus, in whom you have been baptized. And while, you know, this life is sad, we're not promised to be happy in this life, but we are promised that God works all things for our good. So as you get up each morning and you recognize that his mercies are new every morning, you also recognize that the suffering is new and fresh. Just remember, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that the victory is won. You know, as we sing in hymn 372, I think it's stanza number 4, "Thou Christian heart, whoe'er thou art, be of good cheer and let no sorrow move thee, for God's own child in mercy mild joins thee to him. How greatly God must love thee."
Katie Schuerman is author of the book, He Remembers the Barren. You can find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also find out more about the Infertility Ethics Symposium, November the 8th on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Katie, thank you very much for your time and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Bill Swirla. A nice connection there. She mentioned God working all things together for good. What does that really mean? We'll be talking about the promises of God in the midst of, during suffering with Pastor Bill Swirla right after this. What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.